This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 6, 2022. The Memorial of St. Maria Goretti by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, and the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The first reading today. St. Paul is speaking of chastity, and he's speaking in the context of being a counter to the libertines. Libertines were a group of folks who said that personal chastity was just like eating or drinking. It was just an appetite of the body that needed to be satisfied. And just like eating and drinking, it's just fine to take care of that appetite, however you may see fit. St. Paul confronts that notion. He confronts that notion when he starts talking about our personal chastity. The point that he's trying to make is that, like the libertines say, they're just appetites of the body. St. Paul emphasizes, well, gluttony and drunkenness, they are indeed sins of the body. But those elements of the body belong to the mortal life in this world. They have really no religious value other than the moral right and wrong, following the rules, so to speak, and not doing things to excess in this world. But our personal chastity is something different. Our personal chastity is not just a sin of the body that belongs to this mortal life, because it has to do with the body. Sins against personal chastity have a religious component because our bodies are something that do not end in this mortal life like eating and drinking, but it's something that goes on. It is eschatological, to use a theological term. Because why? The body is destined to be glorified. The body is destined to be raised again in newness of life, to be glorified as our Lord Jesus Christ's body was glorified. It has become, as St. Paul talks in Corinthians, a spiritual body. So it is something completely different when we look at sins like gluttony and drunkenness that just have to do with consuming things in this world to excess, and sins that violate our personal chastity that has the element, not just an element, but the end-all be-all of being resurrected. This is why personal chastity is so important. And you know, a lot of people who hear about, you know, they think and hear about personal chastity, well, that's for single people. No, it's not. It's for everybody, no matter what your state in life may be. Because when we talk about our bodies, they don't belong to us. They belong to Jesus Christ. And any physical union that affects the body, particularly when we talk about immorality like fornication, for instance, that physical union affects the union between partners. This is why St. Paul emphasizes in Corinthians, unfortunately it was not read in the lectionary today because I think people, maybe too up in your face. St. Paul wants to be up in our face. The Holy Spirit wants him to be up in our face when he says, if you join your body to someone who is immoral, you become one with that immoral person. And when we become one with that immoral person, that union in its illicit nature profanes the union that is established by faith and baptism between Jesus Christ and the Christian. When you are baptized, you are put in union with Christ. Through faith and obedience, you are from that point on, no matter what your state in life may be, are called to a life of chastity, personal chastity. This is the emphasis that St. Paul is talking about. He is talking about how when we corrupt our bodies, not by excessive eating or drinking, but when we corrupt the body itself by joining it to someone illicitly, it severs this relationship that we have by faith and baptism and our Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said before, we have to understand, because there's a lot of people, you talk about morals, you talk about personal chastity. What's the big deal about this? Doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. That's just, you know, that's just between me and the four walls. That's just fine. No, it's not just fine. It's not just fine because as St. Paul finishes up in the first reading today, you are not your own. You can't say what I do in the four walls without anybody else is okay. Because as I said from our baptism, we never want to lose sight of the fact that we are in union with Jesus Christ by virtue of that baptism in a real sense, in an absolutely real sense. So you are not your own. Okay, that's not a theological statement. That is an explicit statement of the Holy Spirit through St. Paul. You are not your own, for you were bought with a great price. What was that great price? The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. His life itself. His body broken, his blood shed for us. This is why when we maintain a life of chastity, no matter what our state in life may be, it is answering our Lord's call, as he calls in the gospel, if any man minister to me, him will my Father honor. We minister to Christ when we take care of his temple. And you got to step back and look at one commentator said, when we look at our bodies, we have to look at ourselves. The body is, as we know, as it's described by the Holy Spirit, a temple of our Lord. You are the priest of that temple. You are the priest of that temple, and it is your job to maintain it because it's Jesus Christ's temple. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you anymore. He made the sacrifice to buy it. To use a real estate analogy, it was condemned before he bought it and fixed it up, and now it's a mansion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a temple. You are the priest. You must maintain it. When you do that, you minister to our Lord Jesus Christ, and his Father will honor you, thus saith the Lord. Today, the veneration of St. Maria Goretti. St. Maria Goretti, she ministered to Jesus Christ, and now she is honored by the Father by being a saint of Holy Church. We have the tremendous honor of having her relic on the altar up here, you know, an actual piece of the saint, an actual piece of the vessel that the Holy Spirit used. After Mass today, if you are so predisposed, and I would hope you are, we are going to have a time of veneration of the sacrament where we come down and receive a blessing and the intercession of St. Maria Goretti. Because when we look at relics, we are looking at a portion, when we're talking first-class relic, an actual part of the body of the saint. You're talking about a part of that vessel that was used by the Holy Spirit in this world. And it was used in her case. It is truly unfathomable for me, and I pointed out every time I talk about St. Maria Goretti, how humbling it is that an 11-year-old girl could maintain her chastity when so many on the face of this planet have such a huge difficulty with the whole thing. She was an 11-year-old girl, and she maintained her chastity. She honored the physical union between her and Jesus Christ by faith and baptism. She ministered to our Lord Jesus Christ by doing that, just this. It is possible. She negates any consideration of or particular statement that it's just impractical to ask people to maintain their personal chastity. It really just can't be done. That is trash that you hear from the hierarchy of the church here recently. Oh, it's just, you know, you don't want to put that on people because it's just almost impossible to maintain these moral standards that our Lord puts on us. If it wasn't too hard for an 11-year-old girl, it's not too hard for anyone. Yeah, that whole matter that I'm always saying, I won't. I mean, such a claim that It's nearly impossible, if not impossible. That is repugnant to the gospel and everything that our Lord demands of us. It is a denial of the power of the Holy Spirit to suggest that it is not realistic to think that one can live a chaste life. This is the reality. It isn't a matter of it's nearly impossible. It's just a matter of we've just got a world full of very weak people. And I would say that includes the church of Jesus Christ currently. Because it's not, you look at, well, she was martyred for this. Yes, she was. But it's not her death per se that honors her. It was the way she lived her life. It was why she was killed. Why was she killed? Because she enraged somebody who wanted to violate her personal chastity. A grown man against an 11-year-old girl. Really? And she stood her ground. And that wasn't the first time that he had done that either. He had harassed her for a long time. So it's not so much how she died, but how she lived. Because her death was exactly what our Lord talks about in the gospel today. You know, if a grain of wheat die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You really think about it. How much influence would Maria Goretti have had on the world if she lived the life of a, you know, very pious mother and wife and just went about her business? Or even if she became a religious somewhere and was in a convent somewhere, and, you know, who would know about her except the people in that convent? But she didn't do that. She didn't do that. Why? Because she didn't get a chance, because she was killed. Her death brought forth much fruit. I guarantee you that if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't be talking about her here in the United States right now. We would know her name. We don't know the names of a whole lot of martyrs, but we know hers. Because God honored that, because that was a very special martyrdom. She was wheat that died, and she bore much fruit. I think first and foremost, you really think about it, most of us don't know the name Alessandra Serenelli. Who's that? He's the one that killed her. He's the one that killed her. And after he was tried and convicted, he spent 27 years in prison. And when he was first there for the first several years, he was really intransigent because he was demon-possessed. This was back in the days before internet. And he actually said himself, it was because of things I read and hanging out with certain people who just didn't have any morals at all. And it affected me. You know, and I just lived that life. He gave himself over to it. But a bishop visited him one time, and all of a sudden, two and two came together. And then he comes to Christ, and he repents, and he receives communion and the sacraments. And then ultimately, after 27 years in prison, he's released. And is a man, I'm glad to be out of there. Just going to go live my life now and be a good boy. No, what does he do? He goes to a Capuchin monastery. He goes to a Capuchin monastery where he lives the rest of his life as a porter, as a gardener, and as a lay brother to the Capuchins. When he died, right before he died, it wasn't like, okay, let's buy water under the bridge. I don't have to worry about that. I'm reconciled with Lord. No, he rehashed the whole thing. He said, I committed a crime of passion that was so horrendous, so horrible. It is hard for me to think about it in these days and day. But he says, I have my little protector, my guardian angel, the one who intercedes for me, Maria Goretti, the one who he killed. And, you know, her dying words were, I forgive Alessandro Serenelli, and I want to be with him forever in heaven. Most of us would be trying to dog cuss him and, you know, try to think of ways to get back at him and have revenge, and looking at people, avenge me. You know, no, she wants to spend eternity with him in heaven. Sort of like our Lord, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is Riley. She lived like Jesus. She lived like our Lord. And she did and said and acted exactly what she just didn't do and say. She acted like him. This is what she did. This is what brings forth much fruit. This is what the Father honors. So, you know, as we approach things like this, we see the reality and the ability of the weakest among us. This is why the scriptures say our Lord uses the weak things of this world to show his strength. I keep saying, how could a young girl do that? How could she do that? She could do it because of the Holy Spirit, because he can overcome all things. She understood that at her age. We don't. This is the reality of things. So, again, when we think about her, when you come into this place and you look up there and you see a piece of that vessel up next to the altar, consider that that is what can happen when a grain of wheat falls and brings forth much fruit. And for someone who serves the Lord and our Lord's promise that the Father will honor them comes absolutely true. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.